Good evening. Especially want to welcome our inquirers into the catechumenate who will be going through the rite of welcome after Mass, officially entering our rite of a Christian initiation, RCIA. Father Brian won the coin toss, so he gave the kids homily for All Saints, leaving me to do the adult homily for you all tonight. So happy All Saints to everyone, the granddaddy of the saint feast days, because we celebrate every saint in heaven this day, whether they are officially canonized or not. And those who are part of, everybody that's part of the church triumphant, and they're all cheering us on down here who are the church militant. We're called the church militant because we're still fighting the good fight, right? So we hear in today's gospel, Jesus revealing to us the great Beatitudes. And really, there is only one way that these Beatitudes make any sense whatsoever. And that is from the big picture perspective. Because when you and I die, that moment is not the end of our life, but only the very beginning. Because think about it. How in the world can Jesus say that a life of mourning be considered blessed? How can a life of living in want, of being persecuted, insulted, and having every kind of evil uttered against you, which is pretty much what the powers that be these days do if you live your faith publicly, how can any of that be considered blessed if that were the whole of our life instead of just a fraction of it? Just a little grain of sand in miles and miles of beach. And so notice the way Jesus in the Beatitudes always takes us from the passing moments of this life and points us to the perduring eternal life to come. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted and inherit the land. You will be satisfied and shown mercy. You will see God and will be called children of God. Your reward will be great in heaven. Brothers and sisters, if we lose the eternal happiness of heaven for the few fleeting moments of pleasure and of comfort and of honor in this life, then we've lost everything. We got nothing. The way Jesus puts it in the gospel, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Could be the richest man in the world, gain all the awards and the lauds and whatever your mind can imagine. If you gain all that, yet forfeit your soul, you've got nothing. And so that's why, as Léon Blois once wrote, the only real sadness, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint. To be anything less than a saint is to remain unactualized. God meant for each and every one of us to be a saint, and we will never find our truest self until we are one. Whether that happens now in this life or in purgatory, as there are no non-saints in heaven. There are no non-actualized people in heaven. And so our greatest pursuit in this life should be nothing less than that eternal joy with God. Every fleeting moment of happiness in this life will be in vain and meaningless if we fail to attain that eternal joy. So let's get that antiquated mentality out of our mind that has us think, you know, oh, I could never be a saint. That's false humility. Au contraire, to be a saint is our destiny, right? Sure, you can reject that destiny and live merely for this transient world, but let's just say I wouldn't want to be you once that our earthly life passes. Let's also get rid of the ignorant notion that holiness is boring or stifling or somehow that we have to all be the same if we're holy. No, we lose nothing of our individuality, nothing of our creativity, nothing of our personality by becoming more fully who we are. What holiness does to our personality is to give it luster. That splendor that we see in the radiant smiles of a St. Mother Teresa or St. John Paul the Great, who was quite the Renaissance man, who was a skier, a kayaker, a poet, a philosopher, on top of being Pope, the Vicar of Christ, right? Or the piercing gaze of a St. Thérèse of Lisieux, or the joie de vivre of a St. Francis of Assisi, or St. Philip Neri, the practical joker. Saints change the world around them for the better, but to be one, you gotta want it. You're here on a holy day of obligation, so that's a good clue to me that you really want it. But we got to get to that point where we don't do things because we're obligated to, but because we truly desire to. Where we are burning to have closer union with God. Realizing that any good or beauty that I'm pursuing out there in the world is really a desire for the goodness and beauty found in its source. So I'm going to end with the words of the great philosopher Peter Kraft. He said this: you can become a saint. Absolutely no one and nothing can stop you. It is your free choice. Here is one of the truest and most terrifying sentences I have ever read. If you will look into your own heart in complete honesty, you must admit that there is one and only one reason why you are not a saint. You do not wholly want to be one. That insight is terrifying because it is an indictment, but it is also thrillingly hopeful because it is an offer, an open door. Each of us can become a saint. We really can.